The next 30 minutes will inspire you. High school and collegiate Hall of Famer Margot Hinton touching on the importance of self-discipline, always challenging yourself, and the support of community. It's Give It Up with Margot Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio.
Welcome to the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com, where we give it up for excellence, greatness, and leadership, and where we also use our platform to discuss important issues affecting our community and the world. Also, where we continue to practice social distancing, and right now we're talking about the second pandemic. I'm calling it the second pandemic, institutionalized racism. I have back on the show part two, Carlita Harris and Deanna Maki. Welcome back. I'm glad you guys are here. We're going to jump right in it because last time we did not have enough time, and I want us to get through everything this time. So I'm going to start off with this question here. Is this a movement or a moment as it relates to race and everything that's taken place with the murder of George Floyd, and there's legislation and people are protesting and stuff is going over on all over the world, meaning 18 countries, I believe, had similar protests to the ones that are going on right here in America. So is this a moment in time, like it's going past in a couple weeks, a couple months, or is this a movement that we can keep going and have momentum and really get things done? Who wants to go first? Anybody, go ahead. Carlita, wake up. You're up.
Carlita, you go ahead. Okay, well, I feel like it's a moment. I think that it is a huge moment, but okay. I still say that it is a moment because, like I was saying last week, I don't think that things become a movement until they are highly organized and result in legislation that is going to aid the movement's agenda. So if there is real change due to legislation, due to some changing of the hearts and minds, but really legislation.
Right.
Like, nothing is going to cure racism. Racism will be here until the world blows, okay? I'm sorry to bust anybody's, like, you know, utopian bubble, but that's the reality. That's how people are. That's how I look at the world. But what things can be done to stop systematic racism, systematic oppression? Now, I really want it to become a movement, so I think that people need to use this energy to put it behind whatever organizations you feel, because I don't want to throw an organization that I am starting to work with out there, because I want people to throw it behind whatever they feel, just as long as it's an organization that is organized and is led by people who are actually going to take action and steps to get some real change, some real legislation passed, and they have an agenda. You can't just march out in the streets and you don't have a plan and you don't have an agenda.
There,
like, that's counterproductive. So those are my thoughts on it, and hopefully it becomes a real movement and we see some real change, some real police reform along with systematic racism reform.
Mm-hmm. Go with Deanna. Movement or moment?
So I'm coming at it from a different angle. I feel like this is a movement that's having a moment. And I like, Margo, that you use the word momentum, because we're building momentum right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to sustain that so that the intentions of the movement come to fruition. I think, like, you know, Black Lives Matter as a movement has been around since Trayvon Martin was murdered by cops in Ohio.
That's a good point.
This has been, and there has been this agenda, and I think, like, particularly to, I've seen more and more white people at these protests, and I think a lot of the white people that are participating right now think that this is a moment. Like, they're participating in this moment, because it's visible right now, and there's like a meme that's like, if you ever wondered what you would have done in the civil rights movement, you're doing it right now.
Wow.
And so people are out here just trying to show up. They're just trying to be like, look, this dude, I'm doing it. But, like, really, they're just like falling off their skateboards. I don't know. But I think when you look at the activists and the leadership that is out there, when you look to the organizers of these protests, there are goals. You know, when we went to the mayor's house last Friday.
I was there, y'all. I got to shout it out. I was there. Just noted. Give It Up was representing.
We went there with a list of 10 demands for the mayor. You know, one of the things that's being talked about right now by a lot of activists is what's called 8 to Abolition. Mm. And it's 8 steps that we need to undergo as a society to remove police in their current iteration from our communities. And so I think that those tenets of the movement are there, but I don't know if they're being publicized because they're not like, there's not a cute hashtag for them, if that makes sense. So I think depending on who you ask, it can be either a movement that they're trying to push forward or a moment that they're participating in. But either way, it's the momentum that we're building that counts.
I think in hindsight, a lot of times we don't know something's a movement until we look back at it, sort of plan on what Carlita said. Like, we're in the moment of this thing. And when we get down the road and we do those action steps and that, would you say, 8 to abolition, and we get these things going on. And I know Cory Booker and Kamala Harris did a put forth a bill for police reform. I think it's called 2020 Justice Act for Police Reform. So I think when we look back, because I've never seen in my lifetime, and I've been through some stuff racially where people have protested, where I've never seen this many people really motivated and wanting to participate and do action. Because I have people calling me all the time. I had a former student of mine call me today saying these are the things that they're demanding from the school district. They have their list of demands and they're ready to go. I don't want to call people's names out because they may not want me to, but there are several people calling me with action plans. So I think when we look back on this, if we're able to get some of these demands and plans going and the legislation like Carlita talks about, I think we'll definitely say, yeah, this was a movement similar to some of the things that went on when, we had affirmative action got passed and the civil rights bill and all those things. I think we'll look back and we'll say, yeah, we were there. I'm excited about it.
I hope so.
Okay. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Deanna.
We were just saying we hope that's how it is.
Absolutely. Okay. So let me ask you guys this question. I was texting with my goddaughter's mom a couple days ago, and she was saying that, and I didn't even understand what she was saying. She was like, I'm losing a lot of friends. And I was like, to coronavirus? I was like, oh, my God, they got the corona. And so she was like, she sent the laughing meme. And she was like, no, Margo, they're not supportive. I found out who they really are after this George Floyd death. I found out who my friends really were.
And
she says she's losing friends. So I wanted to ask you, have you guys heard about that? Are you losing friends? And what should our, talking to Carlita a little bit now, what should our mindset be around that? Should we as Black people not tolerate white people in our lives that are not speaking up? Should that be a thing? Should we just be like dropping and canceling people? Like, or should we have patience? Because, you know, people say patience, wait. I don't know. What do you think, Carlita?
Okay, I wrote something on my Instagram that really sparked a nerve, and it hit a lot of people in the right way. So
good.
I took and fielded a lot of phone calls when all of this was starting to snowball 2 weeks ago. Well, a week to 2 weeks ago. And basically, I'm not going to read exactly what I wrote on an Instagram post, but it was like, listen, this is what you can do besides call me and ask, what can I do? Like, these are the things that you as a white person need to address and what you need to do. I have not lost any friends. Okay. I mean, I think that's a personal decision on what you wish to tolerate. Mm-hmm. Being an African-American, I mean, a lot of people who are LGBT, they deal with, or whatever, how many letters afterwards, we deal with the same issues mm-hmm. when it comes to sexuality and sexual orientation. So I don't know how to really answer that, to be honest. Like, I have not lost a lot of friends. I think that I'm pretty good at picking out people, if you know
right.
what I mean.
Right.
But you know what they really are about. But I'm sure that a lot of people are going to lose friends. I do think that at this point in 2020, like if somebody is showing you who they are,
believe them.
If they have some really, really bad racial stereotypes, or they are just blatantly like underlying like racist, you need to let that go. And I don't think that it's black people's job, furthermore, to teach white people everything. Like, I think that they should take it upon themselves. There's plenty of books out here where they can do their research.
White fragility.
Google, Bing, different types, Ask Jeeves. You can use different search engines to get on and learn about things. So, I mean, I think that they should take it upon themselves to educate themselves and learn. And then if they have questions, let's say if they read a book and then they have questions, I feel like, yes, we should be open to answering those questions. So how else are you really going to learn? Know without going like I guess quote unquote to the horse's mouth. But yeah, I think that people should definitely put their foot down at this point. Like I'm sorry, like me, if you are a Trump supporter and I find out
it's non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable.
It's automatic. It's no questions asked. We really see clearly what this man is about. And beyond the racial component, I feel like your IQ must be low. Like you're not an intelligent person. You are not a person that understands anything. Because why would you vote for somebody beyond even the racial implications of Trump?
On a human level. On a human level.
As a human being operates. So, like, yeah, I think there are some areas for zero tolerance, and then there are some gray areas. That's what being human is about. So, that's my answer.
Let me jump in on this one real quick. So, what I've noticed and what I've been saying is black people are popular right now. Because I'm fielding text messages and phone calls myself. I'm like, I ain't never been this popular. I'm having conversations.
That one black friend that every white person lies about having is the busiest person around right now.
Listen, I am popular. And listen, I am here for it. Just like Carlita said, I am here for it. I will field your questions. I will send you the videos. I'll tell you to watch the 13th. I'll tell you to go out and purchase White Fragility. Download it on Kindle. I'll tell you to look at the brown-eyed, blue-eyed experiment done back in the 60s. Listen, I will help you in any way that I can. But at the same time, just like Carlita said, you know, if you don't have a voice at this point with everything that's going on now during this moment slash movement, if you can't speak up now and be against racism, when would you do it? I don't know when you would do it. So, I don't know if you had something, Deanna.
I'll say this, the answer is so different for black people than it is for white people. Honestly, to your question about patience, I mean, 400 years is a long time to be patient. I don't know anybody to be patient for 400 years. My husband can't even wait 15 minutes while I put my makeup on. I can't imagine waiting 400 years to be heard. It's not real. But I think, you know, there is this notion of like deleting people and canceling people, but the point is to bring people forward.
Right.
And so I think if black folks are looking at someone that's in their space and they're saying, this is a person that triggers me, causes me emotional trauma, causes me to rehash and re-explain and re-suffer everything I've dealt with my whole life.
Predator.
You're well within your space to be like goodbye. But I think on the other hand, like this is inherently a white people problem. Like white people created it, white people propagate it, white people sustain it. So I think it's all these people out here that want to be allies that think that they're being edgy by saying like, oh, if this is what you believe, delete me. I don't agree. If that's what you believe, stick around and let me tell you otherwise.
Right.
If that's kinship that I felt with people originally because of their views, but if you're talking about losing friends, no, I'm going to keep you around and I'm going to make you hear it. I'm going to make you see it. I'm going to interrogate your views. I'm going to interrogate your values. I'm going to try to re-educate because that's the work of an ally. Like, really, if you're trying to get it done, that's a way to help make it happen. So to disregard people, you can't. Now, if somebody is like vehemently racist and they're just full of hate, maybe it's different, but if somebody is just saying things like using dog whistle language or racially coded language or expressing things that are based in a lack of understanding versus just pure hatred, that's somebody I can re-educate, and I'm going to keep them around, and I'm going to keep trying.
Okay, well, I'll say this to piggyback off of what you're saying. I agree with you, and that's white people's, there you go. That's what white people can do. You can be like Deanna, and you can keep them around, and you can try to educate them because maybe you can understand being on the other side of it and being a benefactor to everything that's been going on, like you said, for the last 400 years. You have that patience. I don't. So as a black woman, I just do not have it to give. If you are about certain things, I'm not talking to you. I'm not trying to educate you on anything. So hopefully the white allies can educate their sisters and brothers, because it's not going to be me if you are displaying those. If some people are just arguing. I know somebody who's in a big fight with their parents right now because their parents, unfortunately, come from, I'll say, old school mentality. It's all about the flag. It's all about America. They believe in all that propaganda. Okay, that's fine. That's your right. But you can't argue with facts. And they are their exactly. parents are now like arguing with facts. I don't have the patience for it.
Mm. All right. I love that. I agree totally. So we were talking about this whole idea of being an ally, and I was listening to, I don't know, somebody on Sirius XM, and they were talking about, you know, how if you're listening to our music, profiting off of our culture, buying our, basically profiting off of our culture and putting yourself totally in our culture, but at the same time, you don't support what's going on now. That is definitely a person to cancel, I would think. And my point is this, I don't think, as black people, we can't afford to be neutral on things. Because I remember in the last election, you know, I would say to white people, I was like, you can afford not to vote. I was like, okay, if you think that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are the same, if that's like your argument, then you know what? You can afford not to vote. But as a black person in America, as we can see, we can't afford not to. I can't afford to be neutral or straddle a fence or be on, you know, not make a decision on what I really believe in and what's good for the country or myself or anybody in my family or my community. So neutrality to me is just, I can't take neutral people. What is this about being neutral? And I had somebody send me a text message about somebody said to them, my silence, because there was a sign, I guess, white silence is violence. And the person took issue and they said, if you're not, I don't agree with that. It might mean that I'm just neutral. And I'm like, neutral? Neutral about somebody being murdered? What is that?
Exactly. So that's just an easy way for people to cop out. It's a cop out.
And being neutral, like that in and of itself is saying, I prioritize my comfort, I prioritize my peace of mind. Saying that you're neutral about issues pertaining to race, I prioritize not starting a fight at Thanksgiving dinner. I prioritize not making waves or not stirring the pot or whatever. You're prioritizing your peace of mind and your comfort over the very visible negative impact that racism has on members of the black community, and you're comparing apples to oranges. If you're neutral, you're lying. If you're neutral, you don't care about the negative impacts of any of this stuff on black people because you don't care about black people.
You're not really neutral then. Yes.
You're not neutral.
That makes sense.
Anybody who claims that they are neutral is, in my eye, I think that they are the biggest part of the problem.
Yes.
And here's why. And that's why when I saw the protest sign, white silence is white violence, that really struck me. I was like, that phrase is exactly what I've been thinking, like, for years. Like, that's so true. And you are the biggest part of the problem because you are these neutral people, quote unquote, they are the biggest benefactors to the systematic oppression.
And Carlita, let me just say this, the piggyback off that phrase, silence, we know this, is acceptance. That means you accept the things that are being done.
Definitely.
Silence is acceptance.
So you are the biggest part of the problem.
You are, the silence too is then just willfully turning a blind eye.
Mm.
Because like, it's one thing, like if somebody is an open, flagrant racist, anybody can look at that and be like, oh, no, that's wrong. We're not, about the fallacy of like black on black crime and
code.
You say nothing. You're just going to let that stereotype go. You hear somebody at Chris, it's Thanksgiving dinner and somebody's talking about like thugs in the ghetto, like, and you're just not going to say anything.
Exactly.
That just means you're okay with that. That just means you're cool with that being the status quo and you have no interest in changing.
And it is that population, that's how this whole system exists, I feel, on that population alone. Because that population of people who are quote unquote neutral or silent, they give permission to people who are more grandiose in their hate speech and white supremacists. You are giving them permission to be who they are. And it's a whole population that's giving them permission to act this way. So you're giving the system permission to behave this way. Mm. So to me, again, that's the biggest problem.
You know what? That made me think of something. I'm not going to be too specific because I just can't. But when people sort of quietly, how can I put this? When people sort of quietly want you to be quiet about your race, they want you to be quiet about racial issues so that you don't cause a scene or you don't make any waves in the place that you are. I'm using a lot of, like, you know, I'm trying to not go directly at what I need to say because I have to be politically correct. But I agree totally with what you're saying. The people that want you to sort of wait and have patience and don't speak up and you to be silent and not to be as black as you are, they want you to be less black than you are in circumstances, whether it's in the workplace or somewhere else. I totally agree. They're the people that keep the system alive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They keep the system alive.
I saw a sign at a protest the other day. I've actually seen this sign a couple times. And it said, I'd rather make my white friend uncomfortable than bury my black friend.
Mm.
And I feel like that's where people really need to be at. Saying, I would rather make all the white people I know uncomfortable then continue to see the black people I know be met with obstacle after obstacle and suffering and to be silenced in the process. So
I love it. And yeah. What I've been saying? I've been saying I think it'll be okay for white people to be uncomfortable in this moment since I've been uncomfortable my whole life in certain situations. I think it's okay for you to be in this moment to be uncomfortable. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carlita.
Your entire life.
Yeah.
So you, Mr. Corporate business person, whether you male or female, you find yourself in these circles and you have one person over here. And that's something that I put on my Instagram page. Are you going to stand up to your boss, your managers, your parents, your family, your friends? Are you going to check them when they are saying these blatantly racist things? Because people who are, I like to call it, behind the mask of obscurity and neutral and silent, these are your most dangerous white folks. Because these are where these decisions are being made for promotion, for whatever. And they come out and they feel good because they're not blatantly racist. But yet they allow certain things to pass in backdoor rooms and in certain circles of conversation. It's dangerous and it needs to stop.
And just
so like Deanna said, that is where we need white people to be at. Get on the right side of something and stand for something. You on the other side, in my eyes.
You got me two things. I had two things really quickly. I think people should wake up and get on the right side of history. You can look back at history and think about the people that were on the wrong side of it. During the civil rights movement, during Jim Crow, slavery, who was on the wrong side? You can look back and say, oh, those were the people on the wrong side of history. Okay, get on the right side of history. And I had a revelation, once again, I'm not going to be too specific, but I had a revelation about a week ago. And I started thinking about, I would always get extreme anxiety because I'm a vocal person wherever I'm at. But I would get into meetings at the workplace and I would literally not be able to breathe because of anxiety. I'm like getting choked up thinking about having to speak in front of these people because they don't listen to you.
because I'm the only black person there. So I just started thinking about what that has to have done to me over a 28-year period. Think about it. But, yeah, anyway, I didn't want to turn into that.
Yeah, there are tons of psychological ramifications to being in this system that we are in. Tons that we don't have time to get into. But that's another reason why I feel like we should get reparations. But go ahead.
Yeah. I got all choked up. Go ahead, Deanna. Get in here.
I'm agreeing with Carlita about reparations. That was all.
Absolutely. There's a book, and I feel bad. I can't even quote it right now, but there's a book that my cousin, and I'll get the book name to you guys soon, that my cousin, a couple wrote that my cousin knows. My cousin's from Raleigh, North Carolina, and I believe they literally came up with a way for reparations to be paid. I'll get the name, like I said. And they've been on the circuit talking in different places on how that can happen and who should get it and how it would be dispersed and so on and so forth. So I think the book is going to be more popular now than it was when it first came out. So look for it, and I'll have to get the name. Okay, so you guys, once again, we're coming to the end. I hate to say it. We got about 4 minutes left. All I want you guys to do, any closing remarks or anything that you would like to say, just to wrap things up. It could be something that you think we should all be doing going forward. We could talk about, we didn't get to talking about defunding the police and what that means and you know, what kind of action steps we need to take going forward. So anything you want to say just to wrap it up? We got about 3 minutes left.
Deanna, you go first.
Oh, I was just going to say on the topic of reparations, if someone doesn't understand reparations or why they're needed, I know like reading a whole book isn't for everybody. I'm a reader. I love to read. There's an article by Ta-Nehisi Coates called The Case for Reparations.
Oh yeah.
And that's a much smaller, more like easily digestible than reading a full book about it, but he sums it all up there in that space. I feel like all of white America needs a call to action to become educated about the way that these systems work and to become active in dismantling them, because black people have been trying to do it for so long and to do it while suffering under racism all this time. And we need to do the work, and we need to learn how to do the work without calling up our one black friend and saying, "Hey, what do you want me to do?" They've been telling us what to do. Black people have been telling us what to do.
Right.
It's our fault we're not listening. So it's our work to take care of.
Thank you. Carlita.
The only thing that I have in wrapping up is I just really hope that people find whatever it is that they can do in the, because I know, hey, everybody doesn't have the same luxury as me. You know what I mean? And like, even myself, even though I'm a black female and I am a lesbian and blah, 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 I still have certain privileges that certain groups of society don't have. Mm. So everybody, if you could just look and see what time do you have, what causes you can give behind, even if you can only give to that cause once a year, or you can get out in the street once a year, or you can march once a year, or you can write a congressman once a month or something like that. Just do what you can, research, and get behind something that is really going to equate change, and go out and vote. And real quick, another good book about reparations is by a Duke economist, and it's called From Here to Equality, Reparations for Black Americans in the 21st Century.
I like
it. And it's from an economist. So I really think it's important that if you're an economist, talk about it.
I love it. We can go on with books, you guys. The New Jim Crow. I'm trying to think of some other books. We'll have to do a book show next time.
How to be an anti-racist by Ibram Kendi.
Yep.
So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijeoma Oluo. That's another excellent just piece of literature. Hood Feminism by Mickey Kendall. Mm. All these things, put them on your list. Buy them, read them, think about them. Take it in.
Love it. Hey, that's our time, you guys. Thank you to Deanna. Thank you to Carlita. It was a great show, part two. Hey, this has been the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com. Thank you to my guests, Always Makes It Live. Special thank you to Trevin, Kiki, and Mr. Alan Lincoln. Don't forget, give it up and be great.
blessed. It's Give It Up with Margo Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio. Brought to you by Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions.